Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymeer Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymeer.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at Graymeer Church of Christ. Seated.
Good evening. Hope everybody's awake. Good evening, my brothers and sisters in Columbia, Tennessee. It's great to be back with you. It has been a little bit, been a while since we've been back here, and we are very thankful to have an opportunity to share what has been going on in Arizona for the last year, and so we're very thankful. We've been in Tennessee for over a week now. We've been out at polishing the pulpit in close to Knoxville. Sevierville is, forgive me if I'm saying it wrong, but that's where we've been at for the last week, and it's been a real blessing. Happy to be with all of you tonight. As we read Acts chapter 14, when Paul is coming back from his first missionary journey, they came back to Antioch. And it says, when they had arrived, they gathered the church together. In other words, they assembled like this. They assembled together, and then Paul began to report all things that God had done with them and how God had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. And if you were to read that, I would like to say that tonight we are assembled just like we read about in the New Testament, that we are gathering together as God's people, as the church, and you are participating in our work, that we are all one body. We are all part of the body of Christ, the church of Christ. We participate in our own way. And as Paul was able to report, I hope to be able to report all the things that God has done with us and how God has opened a door of faith to the Gentiles, and we could use the word Native Americans, in Phoenix, Arizona. And so that's where we are going to spend the rest of our time tonight, is looking at what God has done. I hope as I share these things that you see that it is God who is definitely at work. And I want to thank this congregation because you have become our sponsoring eldership. You have been the main pillar behind our work, and we are very, very thankful for this congregation and the work that you do here and for the work that you're helping us to do in Phoenix. For those of you that might not know me, I was born and raised on the Navajo Indian Reservation. My parents were missionaries on the reservation for 24 years, and they raised me and my brother there in Kayenta. And after that, I went to Denver for about 8-9 years. That's where I met my wife, Divine. And we met in college at the University of Denver. Ended up going on to Bear Valley Bible Institute in Denver. And went back to the reservation to preach for 9 years. And that's how you guys came to be a part of our lives, is when you came out to help us with several different projects, including a vacation Bible school and helping to build the building. This congregation has a lot of people that have been a part of our lives. After Kayenta, we went back to Denver and worked with Bear Valley and did some foreign work with the preaching school in Cameroon, Africa, in helping to train preachers. But as we looked at that work, we said, you know what? I know lots of people that can do the work that I'm doing in Africa, but I don't know very many people that can do the work amongst the Native Americans that I feel like I could be doing. Because of my upbringing and background, I felt like that God has raised you up for such a time as this, that who knows, that maybe this is exactly what I was meant to be. And I know without a doubt that I need to be with the Native American people because that's my people. That's where I grew up. And so what we're sharing is not just over the last year, but this is work that's been going on from when my parents were there and other missionaries to the Navajo reservation that is just now starting to see some fruit. So I hope that you're encouraged with some of the things that you see. When we started doing research, we started seeing that over 60% of all Native Americans live in metropolitan areas. On the reservation, the unemployment rate is about 40%. So if 40% is all the people that can get a job, I mean unemployed, about 40% of the people there that live there are unemployed, there's nowhere to get a job. So most people have to go to the city. That's where the jobs are at, is in the cities. And when we started looking at Phoenix, there were over 130,000 Native Americans just in the Phoenix area. Now the Navajo Reservation is the largest reservation in America. There's about 200,000 Navajo people that live up in the Four Corners area. Now, that is bigger than the state of West Virginia. So you've got 200,000 people, which is a lot, but it's spread out over a large area. In Phoenix, it's still a big city, but you're narrowing it down to within a one-hour drive in any direction. You have 130,000 Native Americans from all different tribes. Apache, Zuni, Hopi, Navajo, all of them are coming into Phoenix either for education or for jobs. And some of them just want to live there because they enjoy being in the city rather than in the rural parts of the reservation. As you look at growing up out there on the reservation, everybody seems to end up in Phoenix. So as we started looking at the census, you can see the different numbers that are here, 24,000. I did it by freeways. If you look at this freeway area, there's 24,000 natives that live here. In this freeway, there's 19, so forth. You can see the big fat lines are the freeways. And so I kind of tried to figure out where the natives are located at, all over the city. So there wasn't one particular area that we saw. But what I did see is that as you look at Phoenix, you can see the map, and I got to step back a little bit. Do you see this big freeway here? And then you see a big freeway here, and they both kind of come together right there in the middle. And they all sort of converge. The freeways come together in this bottleneck, and it almost looks like a bow tie or a figure eight that is right there. And the reason for that is right here is a mountain. This is South Mountain, and so it blocks in the freeways and everything on this side because of the mountain. And on this side, this is the Salt River Pima Maricopa Indian Community. I say Salt River Reservation. So the Salt River Pima Reservation is right here. This yellow color is the Salt River Pima Indian Reservation. And so they are protected land. And so all of the freeways go around them, and you can see it forms like a pie shape, but it's right in the middle of Phoenix. And so this arrow is where we are currently meeting at in Phoenix. That's where we're currently meeting, is on the Pima Reservation, and we are trying to be as centrally located as possible. Now, when we decided to meet there, there were a couple things. When I looked at the census between here, this area, if I could draw a circle like this, there's about 30,000 to 40,000 natives within this area right here. And that's where we're focusing our energies, is right in the middle here of Mesa, Tempe, Scottsdale, and Phoenix. They all kind of converge, these different towns converge right there in that area. Now, as you look at this, there's a couple of things that I want you to see. One is, you just saw the yellow squares. ASU, Arizona State University, is currently the largest university in America. 66,000 students are at the ASU campus right here in Tempe, Arizona. And then Mesa Community College, it's a little community college, I say little, 20,000 students attend there. And then SCC, a Scottsdale Community College. Between those three colleges, there are about 10,000 Native American students. So you figure between the ages of 17 and 25-ish, somewhere in that neighborhood, that's an age group that we would like to focus on. We would like to be able to reach some of these young Native Americans that are coming from the reservations, that are coming for education. We'd like to convert them. We would like to get them trained up in the Lord. So if they do go back to the reservation, that can help the reservation churches. Like maybe we have a new school teacher. They came down, got their education. They want to go back and teach. If we can convert them and help them go back, we can say that's going to strengthen the church back on the reservation. Or if we had a young man to say, you know what, you've got this education, you want to go back to Chinle? The church doesn't exist in Chinle. How about we help you see if we can do a church plant in Chinle? That's something that we can see happening in the future as we look long term. Now, as we look at this big area, we're saying, well, where do we start? Where do we begin trying to reach people? Well, you begin with people you know. Any of you ever done sales? You sell cookies or Tupperware or something like that? What do they say? Start with people you know, right? Have you guys ever done that? Write down your list. Well, these people used to be in Kayenta. And when we were in Kayenta, they got a job, guess where? Down in Phoenix. We had a lot of these people move to Phoenix. And so we contacted them through email or Facebook or word of mouth. And Stephanie is one of those families that her and her four daughters used to be in Kayenta. And now they are worshiping with us in this new church plant. So it's kind of ironic in Kayenta, sitting around in our living room doing a startup work in Kayenta, and Stephanie was there. And now here we are in Phoenix doing a startup, and she's there in our living room again. So both areas, both times, she was there at the beginning. And now her husband, who never stepped in the church doors in all the 9 years that we were in Kayenta, he is now coming, and we have a good Bible study going with him. She has four daughters. Two of them are Christians. One of them is the one in the blue shirt. And then the other one is Mikey and her husband now, Ramon. But when they first started coming, Ramon, it was her boyfriend, and he didn't want to have anything to do with it, but he was willing to check it out. So he started studying, and over about 8 months, he became a Christian. And they recently got married. I think they're about 21 years old, and so newlywed couple, and they're actually house-sitting for us while we're gone these 2 weeks. So Mikey and Ramon are at our house taking care of our dog and all of our plants and all of those things. So we're excited about them. This is another lady that our Linda right here. Our Linda was worshiping in Fort Defiance or Windorock, Arizona. And she was worshiping there, doing a great job. She's one of the few Navajo people that's been raised up in the church. Well, she was teaching women's Bible classes and doing a great job for Fort Defiance, but she got a job, guess where? In Phoenix. And so she moved down to Phoenix just when we were getting down there. And Terry Lawrence, who was converted in Kayenta, he calls me and he says, we've got a lady that's moving down there. So we call her up, we get her number, and she starts coming with her daughter, Jessica, and her husband, Matt. Matt is also from Kayenta, but met Jessica up on the reservation. They got married. They have a one-year-old son, Richard, who you can see in their lap. And so they are 20 years old. Next to Matt is Eli, his cousin, and he is about 19, 20 years old. And he's not obeyed the gospel yet, but he's slowly coming around. And next to him is Stenson Osif. Stenson's parents were ones that were converted in Kayenta, and his parents are really, some of you may have remembered, Pat and Alex Osif, the big guy Alex, and they did a great job. They continue to be a strong force in the church in Kayenta. Well, that's their son that came down to, you got it, Phoenix, for his education. And now that he's working, this is the way God works things out. He is mostly Navajo, but he is also Salt River Pima Indian. And so how does that work out that we would not be able to meet on the reservation except for Stenson? You have to be Salt River Pima. And so he's the one that takes care of our facilities and renting and taking care of all of that because he is Salt River Pima. So he is doing a great job. He is 21, 22 years old and really is stepping up. Last Sunday, he preached for us. He teaches class. He reserves the building. Everything that we need done, he's doing a great job. So you can see all of these connections are from the reservation and how people end up down in Phoenix at some point or another. This is Evan and Crystal right here, and Chase and their son Chase. Evan used to ride the Joy Bus. Does anybody remember the Joy Bus? The Joy Bus is when my parents used to drive that on the reservation. Evan's mom used to ride that. And then when Evan got old enough, he then rode the Joy Bus. And then when we finally came out to Kayenta, he came to worship with us as well. But when he graduated, he went, guess where? Down to Phoenix and got started going to school at ASU. And so he and Crystal are from the Kayenta, up there in Kayenta. And we got in touch with them and started studying with them. And they said, you know, it's time. We got to make some changes in our life, and it's time we got to start studying. So we started studying with them for about 2 or 3 months, and October of last year, they obeyed the gospel. So October of last year, they obeyed the gospel, and man, it was great to see them. And Chase, 3 months later, Chase comes down with a rare disease of meningitis, and he died in 5 days. In 5 days, that meningitis took hold of his body and took his life. It was a very difficult time, not only for young Christians, 3 months old in their faith. Their 13-month-old son has just died. And so what are you going to do? How many people do we know that when death happens, they turn away from God, blame God, hate God, mad at God? This couple turned to God, and they have set such a tremendous example that they have helped lead 4 people to Christ since that tragedy happened. And because of that, their faith has zeroed in on Christ like you can't imagine. And they have made the decision that he wants to pursue full-time ministry. He wants to help people know about Christ. I haven't seen too many, at the time he was 22 years old, I haven't seen that many 22-year-olds when they just lost their son that day, and they have a family meeting, and there's about 60 or 70 of their closest relatives and classmates, and they're sharing all the different things that have gone on. But Evan got up, and he proceeded to tell them, the reason you're here is you love Chase. And Chase had an impact on your life. I want you to see Chase. You see, God has promised us where Chase is at. Chase is in heaven with God. God promises that the children are with him. But you don't have that promise. And I'm sitting back thinking, wow. He's concerned about their souls. At a time when he is grieving and hurting, but he's getting up and basically preaching to his classmates and grandparents and parents and aunts and uncles and saying, you have got to follow Christ. Man, in my heart, I'm hurting for them, but also in my heart, I'm rejoicing because I'm thinking the gospel has gotten a hold of these guys and they are making a difference. And they continue to make a difference. This is Crystal's sister, Brianna, and her fiancé, DeCoven. They were one of the two couples that were led to Christ because of Chase. DeCoven wanted nothing to do with religion, but his little sonny boy, as he would say, has changed his life around. And so he is now taking his faith so much more seriously and stepping up as they have just had a little girl. And that's the other thing, if you didn't notice, when Chase died, Crystal was 6 months pregnant. And so they found out they were going to have a little girl. And after all of these things happened, they decided to name her Faith. And that's what they had during all of that difficult time. And so you guys will get a chance to see Faith down here. I don't like saying little Faith because it makes it sound like a little bit of baby Faith. But Faith is a beautiful, beautiful baby girl. DeCoven and Brianna also have a baby girl. And so we have several little ones. Then we also have the other couple that were influenced. They were at the funeral. And both of them are from Kayenta. Divine used to be her coach back in Kayenta. But they said at the funeral, they said something's got to change in our life. This happened about January. And they didn't come to visit us until this summer. And they called Divine and I about 11 o'clock at night and said, we need to talk to somebody. And we're kind of like, now? You know, they said, yes, now. And we're like, okay. So they came, it was a Saturday night, they came to worship the next day after talking with us on Saturday, they came the next day and don't miss, they do not miss Bible classes. And they said that it was that funeral that really opened their heart. And so this is another young couple that is been turned to Christ because of that influence. I'm running out of time, but I wanted to share with you a couple of others. This is Jen, and some people say, man, she's mighty white. She is white. She's not native, but she was invited by a native. We had a Navajo lady that works with her and invited her to our Bible studies, as well as Ellen. Ellen is Hopi. Ellen's got four children, and both of them were led to Christ because of an invite from work. This is Ellen's four children. She's a single mom, and one of her children, Bailey, is special needs. He was hit in the head with a golf ball that led to brain swelling, and then it led to surgeries and epilepsy and all kinds of things. And you think about a single mom, but because of her influence, she has helped lead her oldest daughter, Sydney, to the Lord, and she is now a Christian also. We also wanted to share with you Dean. Dean is another Hopi, but he was raised in the city. And so it's a weird thing to me because I was raised on the reservation. And, I'm white. But here's this Indian guy that he's raised in the city. And so when I'm talking to him reservation talk, he's not getting it. You know, he only understands Phoenix talk. And it's kind of you're thinking, but you're native, but he's from the city. So, you know, it's just a different culture. And Dean is a great guy. He's really stepped up. Last Sunday, he taught the Bible class. And so he's a brand new Christian. I don't know, he's maybe 10 months old. Same day as Evan and Crystal obeyed the gospel. They obeyed the gospel the same day. And I heard the people I talked to, they said, Dean did a great job teaching Bible class. And I'm thinking, man, that's what it's all about, right? You got these people, they're stepping up and serving the Lord. This is Juan. Juan came to us by knocking doors. We had Bear Valley Bible Institute. They came out and knocked doors on the reservation. And Juan was one of those guys that was, when they knocked on the door and said, we're sharing the gospel, would you like somebody to study with you? He said, yes. And so I get a call, and they said, somebody wants to study right now. And so I'm like, okay. So I go over there, And Juan has been studying the Bible. English is his second language. He's actually a Papago Indian. He's Papago, and English is his second language. Well, his niece had given him a King James Bible. So when I get there, he says, I've been trying to read the Bible. And he had stacks of pages of notes. Because he would read the Bible, and he would get to a word that he didn't understand. So he would write down that word that he didn't understand, get a dictionary and open that up. And he would write down the definition of that word. But as he was writing the definition, he didn't understand that word. So he would take the word, write it down, look it up in the dictionary, and write down that definition. So he was trying to understand this definition, to understand that word of that definition, so he could in turn understand the Bible. He had pages of notes. And so after studying with him, he finally was able to come to understand the truth and has obeyed the gospel, and he does not miss. What an encouraging story. He's very humble in heart. Another young couple here. This is Evan's cousin, Evan Torricini, Reggie Torricini, and his girlfriend, Tia. She's actually White Mountain Apache. She's a White Mountain Apache Native American. And so she just obeyed the gospel. For one whole year, we've been working on this couple. And she's like, nope, I'm done with religion, done with all of that. But she started studying and came to obey the gospel 3 weeks ago. I think about 3 weeks ago, she obeyed the gospel. And they're in their mid-20s, early 20s. This is a picture of the Salt River Church of Christ. A year ago, this congregation did not exist. How many of us get excited when we think about the church starting somewhere else and beginning and the church growing and a place that it wasn't before that now is? That's what we read about in the Bible. That's what Paul did. They went to new places and met new people and taught them the gospel, and they were then teaching and serving and helping to lead others to Christ. This congregation is now meeting about 35 to 40 every Sunday. We were up about 50 every Sunday, but there's been challenges. You know, every congregation has its ups and downs. But we have had so many open doors. There have been 4 baptisms within the last month that we just had. In 1 year, we've had 4 people restored. 4 people were restored. We've had 14 people obey the gospel. Out of the congregation, nearly half of our congregation are between the ages of 19 and 25. We have over half of our congregation, if you include little ones, the little children, over half of our congregation is under the age of 25. And so we're very encouraged with what God has done. He has opened the door. He is the one that has shown us how people are searching for the truth. Even in Phoenix, even in a big metropolitan area, Phoenix has got 4 million people. And so we're saying, how is God just, seems like the timing was just right where we got there just in time to meet up with some of these people that were moving there. And God continues to open more and more doors. I'd love to share more of the slides. We meet in our home, and we started off there. We meet on Wednesday night in our house. We have adult Bible class. And then on Thursdays, we have a devotional time. And this is at one of the members' homes, and we just pile in. You know, everybody just sits on the floor, and there's some snacks. We'll have it at Evans for 1 month, and then we'll have it at Stephanie's for 1 month, then at Stenson's for 1 month. And you get to be in people's homes. And it's really been encouraging to see people grow. This is the facility that we meet at on the reservation. It's a nice, big facility. We meet in the main auditorium. The teenagers meet behind the stage. And then the children meet in the back of the room in the table area. And then we set up those tables as a corral. So, you know, you got so many little ones that you just put the tables up and corral them in. So you've got a lot of little ones that are wanting to run around. But we try to get involved, door knocking, community activities, all of these different things that continue to show that God is making a way. I'm out of time for tonight to share with you some more stories of the way God has opened the door to the Native American people. Isn't that what we read about in Acts? That Paul came back and wanted to share with the congregation, look at what God has done with us. It's not what we did. It's look at what God has done. These people have been taught the gospel. They've believed it. And they're starting to change their life. They repented of that old way of life. And they're not ashamed to confess Christ now. And they made that decision to say, you know what? I'm ready. I'm ready to be baptized into Christ. You know, there could be some of you in here that need to make that decision also. That you're not the only ones. That there are people out there. That this is not some far-off place. That it is happening right now in 2014. And you can also be added to that body of Christ. To make that decision. Or some of us may be really struggling in our faith. And you see the excitement. And you see the dedication. And you see the sacrifice. I wish I could share all the changes that some of these people are making. Are there changes that some of us need to be making in our lives? Then tonight would be the night. Let's not wait. If there's something that we need to do, then let's make that decision now as together we stand and sing.